on a subject, what do you hate? What do you hate? The word itself is pretty negative. And Christians are taught not to hate. But let's look at some things and understand God's will. In Psalms chapter 139, starting at verse number 21, I hope you, Bobby, you got those scriptures. It says, "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hate. I count them my enemy. Search me out, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The greatest goal for the Christian is to be known and found in the image of his Lord and Savior when he returns. To be transformed into his likeness is the reward for your obedience. The Roman writer echoes this in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. And I've chosen several different translations to expound on this lesson today. Listen to what he says. "And we know that God caused everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." I need you, for them. God's purpose is for you, my brothers and sisters. "For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son." The King James says to be conformed to the image of his son. See, we are striving and working to be like our Lord and Savior, so that his son, the Bible said, would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. The firstborn, he is the first, and we have the choice to follow in his footsteps, the choice to be like him, so that his son would be the firstborn, the Bible says, the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, and have chosen them, he called them to come to him, and having called them, he gave them the right standing with himself. Oh, you mean to tell me I can be in fellowship with my God? I can be in right standing with him? What a privilege. What an honor. And have given them the right standing, he gave them his glory. This is the goal for the Christian. Paul confirms this by adding how God wants to encourage us to be like him and in his very image. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. The Bible says this, "But we are citizens," where, church? "Of heaven." Man, we are citizens. Let me tell you, if we are citizens of heaven, we should live like we are citizens in heaven. He says, "Where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into his glorious body, like his own, using the same power which he will bring everything under his control." As we look at our society today, we see how out of control things really are. But God is going to use his great power not only to change us, but to bring all of this under his control. I'm looking forward to the day when the Lord will return and reward me with this new body. And for those of you who are working with the Lord on transforming the image, your image, I encourage you to comply to His most holy will. But we need to remember that God has no favorite. We will be challenged by the same lustful desires that exist in our world every day. But we must overcome. Look what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 17. And he says, and remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. I mean, Brother Willie, he ain't going to pick you over me. No, he has no favorites, my brothers and sisters. Because you're a member of the church, it don't mean anything if you're not living. Watch what he says. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. According to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time as foreigners in the land. We must give God all reverence. We must love him with our whole heart. He wants us, he desires us to be like his son. This is the point I want to ring in your ears, in your hearing today. If God judges us without favoritism, those who come back to Sunday evening worship, those who are here on Wednesday night, those who come when the church doors are open or when the elders call for us to gather together, I'm telling you, but if we don't comply, how shall we be found in his image? So if we want to be in the image of God, then we should hate what God hates. If we are to be like him, if we are to conform in the very ways of God's thinking, we need to hate what God hates. As we live in this wicked world and we see all the atrocities that are transpiring each and every day, we should hate what God hates. Just this past week, it was discovered that a young lady right over in Athens, Alabama, killed her 4-year-old child. I think God is not pleased. I think God hates such an atrocity. I have met men, literal men, who stuck an infant child into a microwave and turned it on. We had a co-worker at Limestone Correctional Facility. Her and her paramour literally punished the two children by setting them in boiling water right in this area. I think we should hate what God hates. But we want to be just like God. Listen to the Colossian writer as he explains some things in Colossians 3. And verse number 8 through 10. He says, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to put away those nasty tongues. It's too many Christians I hear proclaim the name of Christ and then turn around and use foul and wicked evil language. He says these things we need to put away. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created. When you know better, you should do better. And too many of us know better, but we refuse to do better. Now, if we are going to know, if we are going to be known and found in his image by the mighty workings of God, it is apparent to me that we should hate what God hates. The proverb writer says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16 through 19, he speaks these words: "These six things doth the Lord hate, yet seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, a hand that sheds innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to run to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." Oh, does not God hate these things? I was just looking at the news this morning, and right over in Birmingham, Alabama, on last night, an Easter affair was going on. And yet, even there, while these groups celebrate God, wickedness spreads throughout the group, killing and wounding even an infant child. Jews describe some of those people that God hates. In Jude chapter 1, verse number 12 through 15, "When these people eat with you in your fellowship meal, commemorating the love, the Lord's love," whoa, "amongst us, commemorating God's love," watch what the Bible says about them. "They are like dangerous reefs that can shipwreck you." Oh, dangerous folk. "They are like shameless shepherds who care only for themselves. They are like clouds blowing over the land without giving any rain. They are like trees in autumns that are twice dead, the King James Version says. "For they bear no fruit and have been pulled up by the roots. They are like waves of the sea, churning up foam of their shameful deeds. They are like wandering stars doomed forever in the blackness of darkness." Enoch, who lived in the seventh generation after Adam, prophesied about people. He said, "Listen, the Lord is coming and countless thousands of his Holy One to execute judgment on the people of the world. He will convict every person of all the ungodly things they have done and for all the insults that ungodly sinners have spoken against him." It is amazing to me how we laugh along with certain people who mock our God, who mock him, who insult him, who take his word and subject it to the filthiness, the lies and the deceptions that exist in our society. It is a shame that we don't have hate against those who play with our God. I'm talking about they playing with him, folks. And you don't hate that? The Hebrew word for hate, sana, is an antonym which is opposed or a rival, another condition. Example, healthy is opposite of sickly. Hot is opposite of cold. Hate is the opposite of love. Evil is the opposite of good. Paul explains it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14. He says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Do we not know who we are? We are the temple of the Most Holy God." And I'm saying to you, we should hate those things God hates. Watch what he says. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separated, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you." The only way God is going to receive us into his permanent home is that we reject and hate those things in which he hates. Watch verse 18. He says, "And will be a father unto you." Aren't you looking for that? Is that not your goal and the desire to be transformed into the image of God? I want to be with my Father. I am sick of the atrocities that exist in our society. I'm sick of the pain and trouble. I'm sick of people being cast down and walked up on. I'm telling you, I'm sick of it. Sick of it. If God opposes these things, which is different from his character, and he hates those seven things, and all those things are intertwined with the character of people, if those people are thinking evil, then I'm here to tell you that they must be evil. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 23 and 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." I read this scripture and it just fitted Matthew 6. Starting at verse number 21, he says this from the New Living Translation: "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." Whatever your treasures are, however you think, that's where your heart is. Jesus even goes on and he expounds on this. In the very next verse, he says, "Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body." He says, "When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is the darkness? How deep is it? No one can serve two masters." You need to understand, no one. You can't play opposite sides of the fence with God one moment and back to the other, dealing in devilish ways. I'm telling you, you cannot play God against the devil. You cannot patronize God with your weak repentance of your sins. We need to repent of some things in our lives, and we need to stick with God. You can't play both sides. The Bible says, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, manner, the devil. You cannot serve both. You need to serve one or the other. There were some people that were living in darkness, but they thought they were truly enlightened. Let me share a little history lesson with you. There was a movement back in the 1700s that was called the Age of Spiritual Enlightenment. Wow. They emphasized natural laws. They had a belief in the progress of man to an utopia society. Whoa! They trusted in their intellectual abilities. There were several men behind this movement. The most famous was Sir Isaac Newton, the great scientist. Whoa! I think in our society today, we have started trusting too much in science rather than God. Whoa! I'm telling you, he was still in darkness even though he thought he had been enlightened. Too many of us are walking around thinking in the same vein, thinking that we are enlightened, but yet because of our ways, we're still living in darkness. Isaiah put it this way in Isaiah 55 in verse number 8. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way, said the Lord. You cannot compete with God in thinking, in knowledge. God knows, as the psalmist says in Psalms 139, he knows everything about me. If we're going to be on the same wavelength as the Father, then we need to hate those same people that God hates. Understand, whatsoever man thinketh, it says, so is he. You know, I wonder, how did we come up with the analogy or phrase, love the man but hate the sinner? Whoa. Sounds like a contradiction to me. Two points I want to make. Listen closely, my friends. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and me, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of God, of the Lord, We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your sight. This is the point that I want you to understand concerning God came here to save us, even though he hated us. See, we should hate sin so much that we want to save the sinner. Do y'all have me? We should be reaching out to folks even though the atrocities that they committed, we should want to see them saved. As a man has took a baby and stuck him in the microwave, yet we must reach out to that person in order to try to save them. God loved us so much, for we found ourselves in a sin-sick condition that God hated us at one time in our lives because of the things we practiced, how we used and misused God's most holy will, how we mocked him and shamed him with our very lives. And yet we come marching up here in church looking all righteous. I'm telling you, there is no secret hidden from the eyes of God. You may be able to deceive me, and you may be able to deceive everyone else here, but I'm telling you, God knows your very being, and he will pass judgment. We should love one another so much, brothers and sisters, that we should want to see each other saved. Remember, the opposite of hate is love. We want to be like God, therefore God is love. And we shall love to the point that we hate so badly the atrocity of our society that we should want to save folk. But remember, you were once lost in your very sins, but yet our God still sent Jesus, still paid an awful price to save someone. I don't know about you, but like me, I know where I've been, and now I know where I'm going. Therefore, I hate those things God hates. What do you hate? Do you hate it enough to try to do something about it to make a difference in your society? Do you hate it enough to get out and try to serve those who are wicked? Oh, we despise them. But yet, if we despise the wicked, then I say that.